Back together again, you and I, chatting it up Tuesday style, June 17th, 2025, on Connecticut Today. I open the show chatting about a union protest aimed at Governor Ned Lamont's threatened veto of a bill that would make striking workers eligible for unemployment compensation after 2 weeks on picket lines. Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio also commented on that same bill and union reaction to a roving billboard supporting that possible veto from the governor. That roving billboard was supplied by the Yankee Institute. And Connecticut State House Republican leader Vin Candelora detailing the continuing efforts at the Capitol behind that controversial housing bill. So how about that? You got union workers here in the state trying to intimidate the governor. How about that, huh? The union showing up at the governor's mansion last night pushing for this bill. Hey, guys, hey, gals, do you understand he's not going to sign it? He's going to veto it. At least that's what he says. Again, who in their right mind? Can I ask you this, especially if you're in a union? I'd love to talk to you about this. Who in their right minds now thinks it's fair that striking union workers or striking non-union workers or whatever get unemployment benefits? Is this how upside down the world is now? Well, you know, the employers, Paul, don't they have an unfair advantage? No, they don't. Their advantage is they're the employer, and you're the worker bees. I'm sorry, but that's the way it's always been here. I'm sorry if reality doesn't fit your narrative here, but come on. You know, and we had Ed Hawthorne, the head of the union, out there last night. I guess he was asked by a reporter, the reporter's there, hey, Ed, what's up with this paying workers after they choose to go on strike?
Strike is always a last resort. No one takes it lightly. And the employers force people out. There's always something completely unacceptable that forces them out the door.
Well, it's unacceptable to you. Yeah, it's unacceptable, Ed. It's unacceptable to you. Ain't unacceptable to the employer here. This is crazy. This is absolutely nuts. And the governor's right. Don't you think prospective businesses look at this? Right? And look at that. The strike at Pratt got settled without the striking workers getting unemployment compensation. This is absolutely nuts. This state goes further and further and further to the left, turning the screws, even if it's bills that never get approved, but turning the screws on employers. When did we become this way? When did Connecticut suddenly say, hey, screw the people who actually pay people? You've got some of the most idiotic bills coming out of Hartford, whether it's this unemployment payments for striking workers or the bill that was going to try and force Amazon and other people divulging how they run their warehouse operations. Why, did we suddenly lose the concept of who the boss is and who the worker bees are? I'm sorry if you don't like that, but that's nuts. I have an idea. Here's a revolutionary idea, right? If any group of workers, whether they be unionized workers under collective bargaining or not, if they want a cash payment after 2 weeks, I have an idea. Get some investments together, and geez, I don't know, how about you pay for it, guys and gals? Why should my tax money pay for you when you chose to go on strike? Can somebody please explain this to me? Did I wake up in an alternate universe here? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. This is crazy. But again, if it was any other Democrat than Ned Lamont, he or she would have signed this. You bet your bottom dollar Susan Bisewitz would sign this bill. You bet your bottom dollar William Tong would sign this. Sean Scanlon would sign it. Luke Bronin would sign it. We should feel thankful to Governor Ned Lamont for all the faults he has, and he's not perfect with me or you, but the guy's not a raging leftist paying people who are on strike. What are we, nuts? And if the unions are so concerned, then, you know, boost your strike fund. Have your national union people or whomever's handling your union dues, you know, how about cracking off some better investments here? How about that? How about that? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. This is insanity. It's different if you're laid off. It's different if the plan closes, like has happened to me. Yes, I've used unemployment 4 or 5 times in my life because I paid into it. And I expected back. But you know what? Those were for layoffs and company downsizing. It wasn't because I decided to go out on strike. Isn't that what a strike fund is for? Well, there should be another fund there. Good, good. Figure it out without. I have an idea. Figure it out without my tax money. I would love to speak to a union member right now, or any other employee. It doesn't. You don't have to be a union member. You can just be a regular at what they call an at-will employee. At 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. I would love to know what the thinking is here. Regarding this push to have the governor sign a bill that he has said he's not going to sign, and he has said it 2 or 3 times, that I'm firmly in belief that any other Democratic governor in this state, you know, be it Susan Bisewitz, if she were to run and win, or William Tong or Luke Bronin or Sean Scanlon, I think they would sign it to give striking workers pay after 2 weeks. I mean, I just don't understand it. And again, we had Ed Hawthorne, who's a major union leader here in this state, say, well, you know what? The employer has the advantage. Well, yeah, that's because they're the employer. You know, this notion here that employees and employers are on equal footing or should be, it's just not. It doesn't make any sense. It's ridiculous. It's pie in the sky. It's nirvana. You know, they talk about the circle of life in nature. Well, there's a circle of life in business, too. And no matter how many times your employer says, you know, he or she or the company loves you and they care about you, the bottom line is it's a money agreement. There's nothing wrong with that. Who says there's anything wrong with that? I sure don't. But this notion that we have to be on equal footing with the employer, no, now it doesn't mean you don't have good workplaces. It doesn't mean you don't have establishments where the employees have a lot of say, and that's good. I've been in both. Establishments where the employees have no say, and establishments in the employee where the employees, you know, to my surprise, had a lot of say. That's pretty good. You like that. That's the obvious thing you want if you're, you know, spending 8, 9, 10 hours a day to and from your work and at your work. But the governor is right on this. Prospective businesses look at this stuff. Now, it may not be a primary thing as to what they're concerned about, the possibility of strikers getting paid, but you don't think that works to it? But again, there's a bigger notion here. There is a bigger notion here. Is we continue, and I mean by we, not necessarily you folks who may agree with me, but the people in Hartford continue to genuflect at the altar of people who want to Just be a pain in the crotch to the boss. You know what I mean? And look, we don't want to give employers complete and total control. I get that. I understand that. But honest to God, 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. If you think I'm wrong, I'd love to discuss this with you. I just don't quite understand the constant push by lawmakers in this state to just consistently over and over and over and over again try to tell businesses how to operate. Now, I know why they're doing it because, you know, there's a lot of union votes in this state. And listen, even if the state employees' unions aren't directly involved in this, it's their union brothers, their union sisters, I get it. But my God, I mean, if I'm a big operator and somebody says, hey, forget Connecticut, and I say, why? And they say, well, you know, there's this bill about operating our warehouses the way they want us to do. There's a bill that we would, you know, possibly have to pay strikers. What do you think I'm going to say? Oh, man. Paul's here to kick it off in Monroe. Hello, Paul. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Hey, so you're 100% right. Unemployment and things like that, they're basically, if you have to let somebody go,
yep,
or, you know, of no fault of their own.
Yes.
Meaning that, you know, things get bad, economy gets bad, what happened during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But if they choose to go on strike, I mean, why should anybody have to pay for them? And you know what? You make a lot of sense with this. How about a special fund for the union that they have to contribute? So if they do go, you know, on strike, then they have something that the union will provide.
Now, you see, Paul, and Paul, thank you for the call and the kind words. I appreciate it. Thank you, Paul. Here's my thought on this. I wonder if the union reps here in Connecticut, and I'm sure whether it's Ed Hawthorne or somebody, if they've gone to the national union, I wonder if perchance they would go to the national union and say, hey, we're trying to get the state government to allocate a certain chunk of money on a budget line here to make it so they have to pay us if we're on strike more than 2 weeks. I wonder if anybody in the national union has said, hey, Ed, what are you out of your mind? You're killing us with this. We have a strike fund because, you know, we choose to go on strike and we have to accept that. Why should you folks, and I'm wondering, and who knows, I'd love to know if these conversations actually happen. If they did, I know the union wouldn't say anything. But you wonder even if the national union, behind closed doors, if they think this hurts their cause or helps their cause. Now, yes, our previous call said, you know, and we all know this, a strike fund is for when the union or when the workers or when the rank and file or when the union stewards or the union bosses at a certain company say, that's it, we're walking out. Now, my sense here is that the unions in the state want this more to elongate their strike. Because remember now, think about this. Most unions, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I'd love to hear from you if you're a union member, most unions already have some sort of a strike fund. So when you, if you would consider the fact that they already have their strike fund, and then the state would add to it, is this just a way to put more pressure on the bosses? Which, again, I think is patently unfair, you know, unless you can prove that you have an employer who is not negotiating in good faith. But once again, kudos to Governor Ned Lamont for standing firm here and saying he's going to veto this. Now, if he doesn't run again, or if he does run again and win and they have to wait to another two or three governors down the road, I'm okay with that. Maybe another governor does sign this. No Republican would. Maybe a Democrat would. That's fine. But you have all these union members picketing at the governor's mansion, and they're throwing a fit there, whereas, you know, the 90-something percent of us who are not in unions are looking at them saying, what are you, nuts? Seriously, are they nuts? Are they out of their minds? Well, this... if they do this, Paul, it'll even out the playing field between the unions and the employers. It's not supposed to be even. Well, there needs to be an even playing field. No, that's not how capitalism works. It's just not. You want that fantasy? Go live in a Marxist or a socialist society. It doesn't work that way. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Am I in the minority here who thinks this is crazy? Or is this even too crazy for Deep Blue Connecticut? Come on. paying workers who decide themselves to go out on strike. Get out of here. Right around every Tuesday at this time, 5:15 or so, give or take a couple of minutes. Relax. It's my show. I can do what I want. Megan Portfolio is here. She of the Hartford Portfolio blog and the Yankee Institute. Speaking of the Yankee Institute, Ms. Portfolio, what was up with that roving billboard at the gubernatorial mansion on Monday? What's up with that, huh?
Well, you know, I've talked about this striking workers getting unemployment bill for, you know, the past few months. And so I reported on Friday that the unions were going to go, even though Lamont is out of the state, he's out of the country, he's at the Paris Air Show trying to drum up business, which that's fine. Bring the business to Connecticut. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
So while he's out trying to promote business, we got the unions back at home wanting to picket his mansion to force businesses to go away.
Okay.
So I decided, I'm like, hey, I'm going to go check out this protest. It was last night. We had commissioned a, there are these mobile billboards. They have LED screens on three sides of the back of the truck to go up and down, you know, because if they're allowed to protest and ask, you know, for what they want, I mean, we're allowed to do the same thing. That's America.
Okay.
But not in the union's eyes. They now, mind you, the guy that's driving the truck is just a worker. He doesn't own the company. He's a worker, which is ironic because these are the people that the unions say they represent, you know, the workers.
Yeah.
So they decided to go attack one of their own, his poor guy and his wife are driving the truck. They mobbed the truck.
Oh, wait, his wife. Well, hold on. The truck you guys contracted, his wife was there?
Yeah, it was the driver and his wife. They were in the truck. Probably, you know, to navigate. I don't know if he knew the area or not. But whatever. I mean, there's poor couples in the truck. They're innocent victims. They're just doing their job.
Okay.
But you know, the unions did not like the message. They did not like an opposing view. So they decided to try to shut us down.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do it with their big people words.
Yeah.
Or maturely, or with debate. What they decided to do is one guy, which I have linked to my article that I just posted at YankeeInstitute.org. He's literally taking his picket sign and trying to pry off the LED screen.
Not a good look. Listen, I'm no PR professional, but I'm saying, Megan, that's not a good look. But that's just
me. You know, he failed. He couldn't get it done. It was too much work. So I guess the way to stop us and to shut us down and to shut down our speech was by throwing a projectile at the truck. A small business, you know, poor guy in the truck smashes the LED screens. It's the truck's now broken.
Now, did anybody
file a police report?
Vandalism. Now, did anybody know that you were with Yankee, or did you keep your mouth shut on that one?
I mean, I'm with the press, so I mean, wasn't trying to like insert myself into their protests, but I mean, I did hear people were like saying snide remarks to me, but good. That means they're reading my stuff.
Nice.
And it's good for my algorithm.
Nice.
So
now,
I mean, like, I don't mind the hate so much. I have pretty thick skin. They were saying like things, but it was, I felt so bad for the poor truck driver. He's like, I don't know what to do. They mobbed it. He couldn't move it. And obviously, you know, he doesn't want to hit anyone. And then these knuckleheads, like, you're throwing things at a truck, vehicle. You could have hurt somebody. You could have hurt the driver.
I mean, did anybody? I mean, if I'm the union leader there, and I know guys are getting ticked off, but I go to them and say, don't do anything. There are cameras here. But I guess they just,
they don't care.
Now, let me ask you this. I've covered a few picket lines in my life. I covered a rather rather interesting UAW strike back in the 80s. But let me ask you something. What are the odds? Were there any dirty words being used there at all?
Yeah, I mean, I can't obviously say them on the air, even in this day and age. But, they were swearing at the truck, all kinds of foul language.
Yeah.
And I've been to a few of these things, so I'm like, I'm kind of used to it.
Yeah.
I was actually assaulted at one. I had a grown man, like, throw me to the ground. But I don't know
if you've serious?
Never met, but... Yeah, I don't know if you can tell from my voice, I'm kind of a fighter. So I, you know, pushed him back, and then he proceeded to like push down an old lady. So
Where was this creep?
This was in 2018. Oh,
where?
God, you got to look it up. It was at the New London debate between Bob Stefanowski and Governor Ned Lamont. The union guys, they what they do is they have these debates in New London.
Yeah.
frequently, and they're like this big, they all take off from work because they get union leave. So they literally can say they're going on union leave and get paid.
Yeah.
And they all go and sit at this bar in New London, get toasted, and then they act a fool.
So some
say on the air.
So some creep put his hands on you and shoved you down.
Yeah. And shoved me down.
Wow. Jeez.
Well, but I got up and I pushed him back.
Good for you. Good for you.
I'm scrappy for my size.
Good. What the hell's wrong with guys? I don't care how much you disagree with someone. My God. Anyway, jeez.
But it's like it was so toddler-esque. Like I could. Like you're literally. You don't own this truck. Like I don't have a problem with your protest. Fine. I mean, they had like all these no kids protests over the weekend. That's fine. I didn't go to it. I didn't care about it. But they're allowed to do it, and that's fine. Don't sit there and try to like rip the paneling off a truck that you don't own, putting people's lives in danger by throwing projectiles at a moving vehicle. And then,
they
all on social media, all patting themselves on the back.
Talk about the stereotype. I'm sorry to say this, but I will because it's my show. Talk about the stereotype of a union thug. I mean, come on, use your brain.
It was absolute thuggery. And they were screaming at this truck. Do your protest. Mind your business. We're on one side of the street. You're on the other side of the street. They literally had to go out of their way to cause trouble. They had their little picket line walking back and forth with their little lame chants that they like to do, you know. Like, well, shut it down. Shut it down. They just say the same thing over and over again. I'm like, what are you shutting down?
What are you shutting down? Boy, I tell you, they are just incensed. Now, I hope he still does it, but they're incensed. Lamont wants nothing to do with this bill. I mean, it's driving them nuts.
Oh, it was hard. I didn't want to quote anything from the actual protest because they spent all this money on these, like, palm cards and their signs. Invest in a sound system because we couldn't hear you. But they were saying things like, we're not, like, just because we, you know, we're Democrat doesn't mean we're going to vote Democrat. Like, they were making, like, assertions. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't have to vote for you.
Okay.
This is one of the most popular governors in the country. I mean, whether or not you agree with them or voted for them, that's a fact. So I think they're overplaying their card. And now with this behavior, they're just showing their true colors. They don't care about anything but themselves.
All right, folks, you can read this story, the telling of the story of the...
Oh, yeah, and there's a picture of one of the guys that was trying to damage the truck, so if anyone knows them, you can reach out to me.
Wow.
The police, but there's a police report with the Hartford Police for vandalism right now.
All right, check it out, Megan Portfolio, the Hartford Portfolio, YankeeInstitute.org. Megan, thanks. We'll check back with you next week. Please be careful. Bye. All right. What about that housing bill, huh? Who could have ever forecast this, that all of a sudden the governor finally hears the heat of thousands of people across the state? In fact, the Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz saying last week that the number she gave was, I think, 5,000 emails to the governor. And you may say, well, that's not a lot in a state with 3.5 million people. Well, no, it is, because if you take every one of those emails and multiply them by family members who feel the same way and or people who feel the same way but just don't want to email because they don't think it's worth it. Oh, no, way bigger than 5,000. And when you get to those numbers, those are the numbers that can affect elections. State House Republican leader Vin Candelora, North Brantford, stops by. Vin, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, Vin. Your summer hasn't started yet, though, has it? We're still worried about it.
It hasn't.
All right, Vin. So what's the latest? Did I hear from people that there were meetings today and yesterday on this housing bill? And is there any Republican additional input on this? So fill us in as to what you can tell us.
Yeah, I mean, the Republicans are sort of on the edge, you know, trying to get into those conversations. And we've spoken to various members of the governor's office and to the governor, giving our input, but we haven't been part of any meetings. I think right now Democrats are trying to figure out a strategy of how to get out of this piece of legislation. You know, the option is the governor signs it goes into law, and they try to fix it later. The problem with that is that, you know, A, he loses his leverage, but B, you're actually putting the document into law, which is going to impact the towns immediately. So, you know, my opinion is that the governor really needs to veto this. And there needs to be a better conversation on how to deal with affordable housing. That bill was written in secret. It was cobbled together by Democrats who said, put this in the bill and I'll vote for it.
Mm.
So it became a Frankenstein, as opposed to a well thought out policy of how to achieve the goal of affordable housing.
You know, Vin, go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish up. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, and it just it impacts local zoning. And when we, you know, the legislature, the Democrats didn't listen to the cities and towns before they wrote this.
Vin, I want to go back to something you said just a few seconds ago, and I want to make sure people hear this correctly. And I get this all the time from friends of mine and coworkers just in idle conversation here around the station. Well, if the Republicans have such good ideas, why aren't we seeing any of them? And you answered the question, Vin. I want to make sure people hear this now, listening to me at 4:17 on this June 17th. This still is a deal trying to be struck by Governor Lamont with his caucus. So you folks in the Republican caucus, you're not in any meetings on this. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. And we do have ideas, mm-hmm. and some of the ideas are reflected in the bill. There's a lot of good things in the bill, but there are some really bad things. And so, you know, I think when we come together and do things in a bipartisan way, we did it for special education. We did it for elder laws.
Mm-hmm.
When we get together and do it on a bipartisan basis, good things happen. This is what happens with one-party rule at any given time, where Democrats want to take an issue, they make it partisan, and they want it to be their idea and their idea only. And that's when bad things happen, because they're listening to each other, they're in an echo chamber, and they're not getting different perspectives. So while people think this law might not be so bad, when you actually work through it and you talk to the experts, and I think this is why there is so much opposition, it's really problematic.
And Vin, one thing that I was really disheartened at the other day, and I made my thoughts clear here on the air and also on some Facebook posts that I know some folks on the other side of the aisle may have been watching, the notion that, we don't have to say who, but two leaders on the other side of the state Senate said that, you know, people were angry and there's all this kind of misinformation out there. Yet, Vin, I'm saying to myself, well, wait a minute. A lot of really good organizations like CCM and some other municipal organizations, they don't like this either. And that must be frustrating on your part when you hear that people think this is all partisan, when you've got municipal organizations who are ostensibly nonpartisan who say, we've read this, right, and this is really bad.
Yeah, there are local Democrat officials that are upset over this bill as much as Republican officials mm-hmm. are. And it isn't a partisan issue. Affordable housing is something we all should try to get around. The pieces of the bill that are problematic is, you know, not allowing zoning boards to consider parking when they're approving these. That alone is a fundamental non-starter. The other issue is commercial property being able to be converted to residential as of right. You know, we talk about environmental justice, and we've worked on legislation to make sure that residences are not close to a polluting type of business. And in the cities in particular, when you saw those kind of factories built near homes and the high rate of asthma, laws were put in place to avoid these kind of things from occurring. This bill throws it all out the window and says, as of right, you could move, you know, an apartment building, you know, a 9-unit apartment complex into an area that is really zoned for commercial businesses. That's not healthy development. It's not smart development. And that's what I think people are frustrated with. It kind of threw out all of our good zoning laws in the name of housing, and it's pretty reckless.
One thing I think, Vin, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, I think the average person that I talk to, and maybe you hear these from people, look, we know it's a big issue, like you say, but my gut tells me the clear-thinking person on both sides in this state would rather not do something that's going to be bad than force something through that is just going to result in litigation and woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Right.
I mean, to me, I was always taught by some lawmakers, you know, you got to be careful here. It's almost like the Hippocratic Oath. Like, the first thing is don't screw things up.
Yeah.
Don't harm it here when you're trying to fix something.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's unintended consequences. So they started with this notion of affordable housing. We need it at all costs. But you have to worry about the unintended consequences. Mm-hmm. And when you draft a bill on your own, you throw it onto the calendar. Everyone could see it 12 hours before a vote is going to occur. Granted, it got through the weekend. We got about 3 days to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But the experts weren't in that room helping to write that bill. And that's why you're hearing from our local zoning communities, our towns, our cities that are pushing back saying this bill is a really bad bill because they weren't taken into consideration. And that's not the way democracy is supposed to work. We have public hearings. We work through the legislation so we get a good product. And this was more, I think, an attempt to just say we're doing something for affordable housing. Mm-hmm. And the focus was sort of on the advocates, these think tank groups,
yeah,
wherever they're out of, Yale or UConn,
yeah,
that are a bunch of students that aren't in the real world actually addressing these things. And that's what I find frustrating in Hartford. It's sort of these theoretical bills that come out, and there's not a practical aspect to it. And that's what this bill reflects.
Absolutely. State House Republican Leader Vin Candelora. Vin, thanks. We'll check in with you down the road. Appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Vin. Appreciate it.